Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Subscribe Blog, and as you can see in the background, I'm in a secret location in the Puget Sound with some folks who are working with the Master Chief himself at 343 Studios working on Halo. And you guys are building the backend systems for Halo.
Yep.
So you're the web services team for, what is that called? Is that the United Space, Nations Space Command?
UNSC, yeah.
Yes? Yes.
Yeah.
So, what do you do? Or what does the team do?
So our team works on all the backend services that the game communicates with and that drive things like the waypoint experience on the web. Storing things like your game history, your progression, statistics, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So when I pop in the game in my Xbox console, it starts talking to the Xbox Live network.
Yeah.
And then as I play multiplayer games, there's stuff that my achievements, and they kind of flow out of the game and then end up in Waypoint. What's Waypoint?
So Waypoint's a portal that Halo players can go to sort of look at their past game history and look at their Halo career. And we built that website, our team built that website, and we also have a bunch of back-end databases that store, or data stores that store all the information about the past games that you've played and how you did in each game, how many kills you got, how many times you were killed, that sort of stuff.
So how we... There's a role, I mean, there's a reason that I'm here, but only because I care about Halo, and I'm a horrible multiplayer Halo player. My gamer score is... certainly not from Halo. It's from driving cars and killing things on the phone. Whenever I show up in a multiplayer game, I get killed instantly. But those statistics, those kills, the achievements get flow over the a mechanism to your backend, and you chose
Service Bus.
Service Bus. Exactly. So that was a very exciting thing for us. And so what happens with the how do you use Service Bus?
So in our production environments, the primary service we use it for is stats. So in our previous system for Reach, we had used a system for maintaining uploads. So there'd be a front end and you'd upload these stats records and they'd be written to a hard drive. And then later on there'd be a worker process that would come by and pick those up. And one of our big things across the team that we were doing in this release is moving everything into Azure. So we don't, I don't think we have any on-prem services for Halo 4 anymore.
We have physical machines for SGs though.
True. Yeah. So
SGs?
There are security gateways, and these are basically, it's just a proxy that your Xbox connects to and authenticates itself with, and then it passes your messages to our services as an authenticated, this came from an Xbox, you're a real user.
Just to hold that for a second. So the way I imagine, we need to imagine this, is that the Xbox, all the Xboxes sit on a effectively secured, isolated network, a secured, isolated network built on public IP space. And then there's gateways from that private space into kind of the public space where you kind of bridge out into your backend services.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. So so the secure gateway code is provided by Xbox Live. So it's used by any title on Xbox 360 that uses any kind of backend things that they develop themselves. And it just provides the security infrastructure to validate the claims that Katie's talking about.
So you're not actually dropping from the console into Service Bus. You do that through that gateway.
Yep. So there's a protocol called Xbox Secure Protocol, which is a UDP-based thing. So the consoles go and they talk to Xbox Live when you sign in and say, "Hey, I'm playing Halo 4." What secure gateways are available, and they advertise a number of different services. And the Xbox will then enumerate those services and contact one of those SGs directly. And the SGs will forward the request on to whatever the title server is what they call it, which is your backend servers that handle whatever the logic is.
Okay. So for Halo 4, all of that is completely Windows Azure except for those gateways?
Yep. Due to some specific details around issues we had with the SGs, those are on-prem, but all of our actual title infrastructure code is in Azure.
Well, that's a fantastic thing. So the so I'm in a multiplayer game, and I think one of the new things in Halo 4 is that you can actually join progress games and leave them. And there's not a lot of room that you have to do all the things on that Xbox, right? How much memory is there?
So typically when you develop a title, one of the considerations is the amount of memory you have. I don't remember how much RAM is on the 360.
I believe the box is 512, but some of that's reserved for the system. And it's generally constrained, and then you're playing a game, so a lot of the memory is being used for textures.
Yeah.
So if people come and join and leave the game, then there's some point where you kind of basically need to get rid of the statistics.
Yeah, there's a number of pre-allocated slots that are available when the game boots up. And so if you have enough people move through the game at some point, you run out of those slots. And so what we do is upload what we call a partial statistic. This is something Katie worked pretty extensively on. And so those partial statistics get uploaded throughout the game to our servers, and then at the end of the game there's a full statistic object that has more of the data about the game, but also tells you how many partial statistics you're supposed to be expecting. And on the back end we glom those all together and sort them out and come up with a record of everyone who was involved in the game.
So as you start basically, as the slots start overflowing, you kind of start a, and that's something we worked on together.
Mm-hmm.
We start creating effectively create a session in Service Bus by ways of just identifying. You have some identifier for that game, and then you send the first message in that session. The session starts, and then there's a. As you receive the message on the back end, the first message on the back end, the first anonymous session, we kind of have a marker for the end of the session that we set.
Yep. So we needed something that provided us a secure place that we could drop these data packets, and we know that they would definitely still exist. And the other thing is that we want to, return to the game as quickly as possible. We don't want to have the game waiting for us to do all the session or all the stats processing logic, right? So what we do is we drop that upload into Service Bus, and we use sessions because then we can organize all of the uploads by game ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a worker process that, or I should say, a pool of worker processes. That look through the queues, pull out these partial statistics and full statistics, and they pass them on to our back-end system that keeps track of them in memory and which ones have been done. But we also use Service Bus to deal with a bunch of the fault-tolerant scenarios. So, for example, if the particular server that was managing the state of that game were to go offline, then when it comes online again and the next message were to come from Service Bus, it would detect that, in the session state, we keep a record of all of the games that we think that we've processed already.
Mm-hmm.
So the server, when it comes online, looks in its internal memory and says, oh, I don't actually know anything about these games because I've crashed since then. So it can then go rehydrate itself.
Yes. So effectively, the state machine state is sitting in Service Bus as a where as something is still in processing. That's kind of the record that you keep and where and use the session state for.
Yep.
And the other thing, it gives us a buffer too that we don't process stats synchronously, right? It's done async. And so in high peak and load time, Service Bus allows us to queue up a bunch of stats games. And so maybe you don't see your results on Waypoint right away, but we're not dropping your stats. It gives us a backlog of things to go process and work on. So it allows us to handle a larger load with less servers during peak time.
Yeah, so peak time was the thing that us on the Service Bus team, we were deeply worried about. because typically when you have a service bus client, they come and then they start doing some things and then they go and deploy. And so you have this curve which kind of goes like this, right? So you start little and then you start like this. However, Halo functions very differently because...
Games are a completely different world than most services when you look at load patterns.
Yeah, because there's the day, what was the day? The election
November
day.
6th.
November 6th, exactly. So November 6th, the game goes on sale, and millions of people buy it on that day and pop it into the console and start playing. Which means your load pattern is effectively exactly inverse from everybody else. Like your peak load is in the first few weeks.
Yep.
And then it's hard to kind of predict where that's going to go. At least for us, it was a completely new world.
I mean, it's challenging, and I've worked on other titles before. It's challenging across the spectrum of games, right? You sort of plan and beta test and stress test as well as you can, and then you have a team on call on launch night, like our team did. We had people in the office round the clock on week one to make sure that we were monitoring the services and anything that came in, because, I mean, you can't predict that load unless you see it in production, right?
It's astonishing. We have some stories in Windows Azure where we see some startups who are... they're hitting the nerve of the time, and then they kind of grow like crazy, but they grow through word of mouth and they grow through, you know, viral effects, but they still have that kind of curve.
Yeah.
You guys grow through a well constructed marketing campaign and an established brand, so you go and spike in the first week.
Yeah, it's an interesting switch. So for startups, like you mentioned, it's kind of unpredictable when they're going to have that growth.
Mm-hmm.
But the growth is not quite as sharp, whereas in our case, we know exactly when, well, to a fairly great accuracy, we know when that spike is going to happen, but it's a much steeper climb. And then also the fact that over time, people, like the people trickle off, there's an advantage there that you don't have in the startup world.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have your... Because it happens very rapidly, you don't have the time in your production environment to kind of get things sorted out, right?
Yes, it's either right in that first week or it's not, right?
Yeah. Well, that was like I just mentioned, if one of your servers goes offline, we had the advantage with Service Bus where we would still be able to have things going into our queue, and the services were designed to recover when they came back online. And so if we had to make a quick patch, we could do that and bring the services back online without having to worry about having lost any state from coming from the game.
So
that's another benefit we got from Service Bus.
So in sorts, Service Bus is the gateway into your services. Like, we take all the punishment of that initial stress.
Yes, for that specific, the statistics
for stats,
processing pipeline, we use Service Bus as sort of like the, when there's high load, we're going to like, it's going to back up.
The queues get longer.
And then if we have to go and do some stuff in the service, we don't want to lose any of that information, what's happening in the outside world, and so Service Bus again will back things up while we roll a server.
We can actually take stats offline for several days and it would still continue to accumulate stuff in Service Bus. We wouldn't lose the data. So
that's great. So there's another thing. I think that's the thing that caused us a little headache over a weekend.
I still remember your IO.
Yes, it was like, do whatever you're doing, stop. because you were doing load testing.
Yes.
Yeah, so, as I recall, I got an IM one morning that said...
On a Sunday,
hi, I'm so-and-so from the Service Bus team. Okay. Do you own a service called Angus Scale? Yeah. You're crushing us a little bit. Like... Yeah, doing scale testing.
Yeah, you were in the one of the newer data centers that we had, US West, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think you had scaled it out yet.
No, it was we were certainly not prepared for what you were trying to do. So, and on that particular pattern, the particular pattern you used was kind of something that we didn't anticipate, because you were doing something with...
I'm not sure we anticipated it either.
Yeah.
was kind of a bug in our code. But.
Yeah, there was something about the connections and stuff, and we probably should have told you that we were about to...
Yes, so, but you also unleashed the stress on a feature that is not the... We didn't think of the line of the happy path for everybody, because I think you were using skip messages.
Yeah.
So, tell me about what you did there.
So, we, you know, obviously we want to be able to deal with a large number of potential users on day one, and so I spent a large part of last year just trying to figure out how to do our scale testing. So scale testing is interesting because, as far as I know, there's not really a good way of doing it. We looked around at a lot of different solutions, and everyone seems to have their own little mix of tools they've cooked up themselves. And
we have the same thing.
Visual Studio load test and a couple of other things. And nobody seemed super happy about their solution either. It just kind of, you do whatever works for you. So we had planned to build this service, which we call RMP, which stands for Record, Mutate, and Playback. And so what we were doing was adding to all of our service front ends a recording mechanism so that we could keep track of every call that came in. And what we would do is play actual games with the actual title and record that traffic and save it off.
So so a bunch of people would get into a multiplayer game, and you would go and then look what... actually, how people were achieving things,
yes.
Or just how people move them.
Well, so we were using this for our entire suite of services, actually. So, Presence is one of our highest RPS services. So this is a mechanism where every few seconds the game sends a heartbeat up to the service and says, "Here's what I'm doing. This is my current state."
Mm-hmm.
And then your friends can go and query that state. So it's kind of like a broadcast mechanism.
Okay.
And a lot of the reason for doing this was so we got realistic data, because, like, for instance, the statistics blob is a large amount of data, and it's really hard to programmatically go generate a string of stats blobs for a bunch of players that makes sense when you look at it, like, say, on Waypoint, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, we can generate, like, a stats blob randomly, and it makes sense, but then, like, getting sort of a string or a pattern of data... and getting all right and it making sense
and
like the headshots and
between
the
users,
yeah.
Right? Like,
so who's doing that playing then?
We would just play, where we'd have people on the test team play.
Right. I mean, yeah. We have play tests in the studio that could also like get recorded through our services. So
yeah. So to set up the that's something that's normal for you, but that's not normal for the other people in the rest of the world. Like, so you sit down as part of work and.
Play some Halo.
Yeah.
Play some Halo.
So, I mean, like, because of the nature of the way game development works, it's very difficult to, like, design something that's fun without having play-tested the hell out of it.
Yes.
So, it's part of normal everyday life that, like, I don't know how many play-tests they run every day, like two or three, usually. And so we can piggyback on that, right? And just have a bunch of people that are playing anyway, who often are good at the game, right? Because they're playing every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we can record real data, it's not even just the data that's necessarily interesting, but also the timing between when things show up, you know, when you expect those requests to occur. And when you're on a team that has hundreds of people on it, you're not necessarily all aligned on exactly what the timing is supposed to be for every request, especially across services, right?
Yeah. So one way to think about it is it's like a server-side version. The recorder part is like a server-side version of Fiddler.
Yeah, okay.
You boot up Fiddler and it records everything that's going out of your machine, and so we have something similar that we could put on our server side right at the front door, and it would capture all the traffic and then put it down and capture the timing information so that we could then do stuff with it, and that's where the mutate part came in.
Yeah, so then for the mutate part, what you then want to do is we understand what these requests look like, and there's key fields in those requests that we want to replace with tokens, right? So for example, someone's user ID. We can look in the request and look for that user ID across all the requests for the recorded session, and then mutate that into a multiplied effect of that. So we can then say, take this one session that we recorded and multiply the volume by 100 and change the user ID in each of the requests, right? So you're now simulating a much larger volume of requests that still maintain the patterns that you recorded from real people, mm-hmm. but use different IDs, mm-hmm. right? And so that would happen, and then the part where Service Bus comes into play is in the playback. So in order to maintain these timings, the plan is that we use scheduled messages. And so we look at the recorded and then mutated sessions, and we each request becomes a Service Bus message that is scheduled at a certain time, right? And there's always network skew and whatnot, so we're willing to tolerate a certain amount of, you know, we don't need to be to the millisecond accurate on the scheduled mm-hmm. messages. But we would just dump, you know, hundreds of thousands of requests that are all scheduled into, I think, what was not a large enough amount of Service Bus queues. And I believe we were instantiating a new connection for each request yes. as well, which is where we ran into issues. And then we have a process that basically looks at the queue, and when there's
messages, turns around and plays it back.
And plays it back, yep, exactly.
So you're in that case, you're using Service Bus kind of as a queue plus timer at the same time. Like yep. it contains the data, but it makes the data only appear at the desired time.
That's yes. correct.
Which is a when I looked at this. At the scenario, like, so first of all, we looked at the load and like, what is happening? And then we talked about what you're doing, and I found that fascinating, a fascinating use of a queue. So it's awesome. I think it's great that you're using the technology. Do we have any other uses of Service Bus that you, that's mostly what it is, right? So you use it for testing, and the main scenario is to go and use the flow of the statistics.
Yeah, so it's a scale and reliability server, basically.
So the stats are being used. So the stats are being used for mostly for the waypoint experience that you can also then get from. You can get that from the website, but you can also get that on the kind of companion the companion yeah,
experience.
Smart
Bus right? experience will let yep. you see that if you're running.
And we send some of your stats down to the game as well. You can view your service record and your friend's service record in game. It's a limited subset of what you would be able to view on Waypoint, but mm-hmm. it goes out to basically every client we have.
So Xbox Smart Glass is where you get that on your Windows devices. Yes. And then is it all called Smart Glass on the iPad? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So you can get it on any Smart Glass device mm-hmm. or any place where you can run the Xbox Smart Glass app. You can get it on the website, and there's also a Waypoint console application that you can launch, and you can go look at some data there as well.
So the Waypoint, and I'm guessing that the Waypoint thing is something that, I mean, this was started for, I believe, Halo... ODST.
Waypoint, so the Waypoint console app launched in right around after ODST launched, mm-hmm. And then... From that, our services team started building out the websites and then improving on the console experience. And not only do we deliver your stats and your career statistics across all the Halo titles on Waypoint, we deliver a lot of content. Like, they started an anime series there, Forward Into Dawn most recently. It was also viewable via that. And then there's, like, pictures and a bunch of community stuff, so.
And my guess is that people should, if they don't have it, they should get it because there's more things coming that we won't talk about here.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's always going to be interesting stuff. Waypoint is meant to be your gateway into the Halo universe.
Mm-hmm. Which keeps expanding.
Yes.
We're not done yet.
Yes.
That's yeah. great.
And a lot, like Kitty said, you can see your statistics inside the game, but the stuff that we put on Waypoint contains a lot of interesting aggregations, like how many games have you played where you're in the top half or the top third. Mm. We do a lot of aggregations when we pull the blobs out of Service Bus. We do a lot of aggregations that we then push into Waypoint, and we put on the site. We can show you what weapon you're really good at, what weapon you kind of suck at, so you can decide what weapons you might be better off using in the game. So it's also a place where you can go to learn about how you can improve your skills in Halo.
So you maintain kind of the raw data at the back end, then you can go and run additional new statistics as you improve the experience?
Yes. Yep.
Well, that's fantastic. thank you for having me here in the secret chambers of 343 Industries. And I think it was very interesting. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.